Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode. Off to a great start of Okayest Moms the podcast. As always, I have Brittany here with me.
Hey.
If we sound like we're out of sorts, it's because we move to the surface of the sun. It is so hot outside. I think the high today was 110. I don't know. Anything over 100, it really doesn't matter.
Seriously. And it was weird. This morning it was like lightning and like dark and humid, and it felt like we were on the East Coast, and we live in California.
Yeah. So if you have heard a lot of Californians talking about the weather, it's because this never happens. It literally does not rain from like June to October. So this is very strange. The humidity, whenever it's really humid, I always love to look up the humidity to see, because you know, like people in humid places talk about like, oh, 90% humidity and all crazy numbers. So I looked it up today. I was like, God, it is so humid outside. It's got to be really high. It was 30%.
No.
Yeah. I was like, we are such wimps.
Listen, as somebody who has spent some summers in Virginia humidity, it felt more humid than 30%.
Yes, I thought so too, but I'm not a humidity expert.
It's the worst. The worst kind of weather.
it's so unbearably hot. And of course, this coincided with distance learning starting back up. So, which I guess is fine because we can't really leave the house anymore anyway, but it feels even more like we're stuck in our house because by the time school's done, it is blazing hot outside and there's no chance of leaving. So
I know. I think I'm going to steal your idea though. Try to go for a walk in the morning.
That is going to be really, really key. And actually, I didn't think of it until somebody from another parent at the school posted on Facebook, because at Isla school, they open up the gates and kids walk around the blacktop. That's what they call it, like their morning miles. And so I was like, oh, that's a great idea. We'll call it morning miles and we'll do it. And because there's a lot of research between like physical activity and your brain being more engaged, and it wakes you up and you're ready for the day. And I think we definitely need that separation, especially because we're just going from the kitchen to her desk. there's no transition to school. So it's been good. And it gets us out of the house when it's, you know, only 85 instead of 105. So, except we saw a snake one morning. So that was not ideal.
You saw one?
Yes. It was a little like baby snake, but
how did that make you feel?
Not great, but it was injured. So I felt better. Like a bird had got it or something and it couldn't move. So I felt
better. That made you feel better?
Yeah, because it couldn't move. It was injured. For those of you who don't know this about me, I am deathly afraid of snakes. Like I will start crying if I see a snake. I've never had a run-in with snakes. It's just something that comes naturally to me.
Maybe you've repressed it.
I am just like, I'm petrified of snakes. So, and I don't care if it's a python, like a huge 12-foot snake, or like this tiny little gopher snake or whatever. Any snake is just disgusting. But lizards I'm fine with. I think it's just because they don't have legs. That's what really stresses me out.
It's interesting.
I'll take all the spiders all day, but no snakes. No fucking snakes. Nope.
Nope. It's really funny because we both just watched Love on the Spectrum, and there is one woman on there who has a pet snake, and I thought it was adorable the way it was crawling all up in her glasses. Yeah. And like it's her best friend.
Okay, so I love what the snake did for her because she used it as a way to calm her sensory system and it soothed her. And that is fantastic. If I have ever had a snake wrapping itself around my glasses on my face, I would just go into cardiac arrest and just die right there on the spot. I couldn't even watch that part. I had to cover my eyes and like hum to myself so I couldn't hear. And then AJ told me when it was over. Cause I could not watch it.
Oh, it was so cute though. All right. Enough snake talk. You're going to have nightmares.
So, you know, just beware. If you're going to do some morning miles, you might run into some unfortunate critters.
Okay. Well, today we're back with more Housewives talk. I think, well, our goal was to do this like once a month. So I don't know if we've really been doing that. I think that's what it's worked out to, but it's kind of, yeah.
The recaps are just too much to, I mean, there are full podcasts just devoted to the Housewives recaps, which is quite the pace to achieve, and we can't do that. So this is more like our hot takes in this moment in Housewife history.
And we'll be right back with that after this quick break. This episode of the OKS Moms podcast is brought to you by Smith and Burgoon Realty Group.
We all know moving is one of the most stressful things you can do, especially with kids in tow. And the last thing any of us need right now is more stress on our plate. So if you have a move coming up in the future in the Sacramento area, or maybe you're relocating to the Sacramento area, we recommend Smith and Burgoon Realty. When you hire Smith and Burgoon Realty, not only are you getting care and hard work from one agent, but you're also getting the care and hard work from an entire team that works seamlessly together, has integrity, communicates, and listens to all of your needs.
Over the past 5+ years, they've had the pleasure of helping buy, sell, and invest in residential real estate all across the greater Sacramento area. If you or anyone you know has real estate questions or needs, visit their website at smithburgoon.com. That's Smith, S-M-I-T-H, Burgoon, B-U-R-G-O-O-N.com. Or you can email Kevin at kevin@smithburgoon.com. Also, they're never too busy for referrals. Any referral comes with a thank you Amazon gift card.
Okay, so let's just dive in. We're going to go in descending order of most exciting. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
So obviously of the three franchises that are on right now, the most boring would be Beverly Hills.
100%.
How are you feeling about this cast? Yes.
It is just, okay, number one, we didn't need it to be continued to come back to. I forgot that the last episode ended with that, and we come back to this. And
right, because they're not even remembering the facts of the episodes, because they're just, who cares? What? So what?
I know. Well, and obviously Denise is lying. Like,
through her teeth. She couldn't even cover her own tracks.
No.
I mean, she said she wasn't talking. She barely knew Brandy. Oh, but I talked to her right before Kyle's event. And there was another lie that was so obvious that I can't recall now. But
that Brandy said that she had had relations with another woman in that group.
Well, and then so you're going to admit, you're going to cover up your lie with another lie? Like, are you five? I mean, we know that doesn't work.
So it's just
to the original lie.
I feel like she felt caught, obviously, and this is her natural reaction to come out of it, but it's so blatant and it's so obvious. But also, why are they pushing it so much? Because it's literally the only thing they have going on.
And it's just this season's Lucy, Lucy, Apple Juicy.
Yes.
It's all like, I don't want an entire season of this, because at the end of the day, nobody cares what's happening in Denise's bedroom, which is what she should have screamed at them as she flipped the table and left the restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's just like this manufactured storyline. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love that Lisa Rinna self-produces and perpetuates the drama. But it's kind of like giving me flashbacks to the Munchausen season with Oh my gosh. Yolanda. Where like she tried too hard to make stuff happen and then she like really stepped in it.
Yeah.
And she's throwing Denise under the bus, who's been her friend for however many years. I don't like, it's just, it just feels icky.
Yeah. I'm really sick of her saying own it.
Got it.
I'm really tired of it. And it, you know what I really noticed at this dinner was Erica had all the hot takes in her confessionals, but didn't say a damn word during the whole thing.
She's just over there spectating. I mean, yeah. you do hours and hours of glam to do nothing, to just spectate and watch
it all. It's so boring. I'm sick of it. We don't need any more glam. We need more people in with the fray.
Glam is not a personality trait. It's just, it's enough. It's enough. And Erica and Dorit are both doing it. They're serving the same looks. So,
no.
I can't. And I can't decide if it's Lisa Rinna doing the self-producing or if it's Kyle.
Well, you're turning against your fave over here.
You know what did it for me? It's her friendship with Teddy. I can't.
How could someone you like be friends with that boring ass bee?
I don't like her anymore. If Teddy does not get off my television screen, Andy Cohen's going to get a very strongly worded letter.
Send him an email.
A strongly worded tweet. She's just so bad. Yes, of course you live in your father's shadow. Of course you do.
Yeah, no shit. I'd be like, duh, he's famous AF. Like,
really? How old are you? That's the first time you've heard that? I mean, give me a freaking
break. Well, that's why she was so triggered by it, because she had heard it before. But what do you think of her one confessional look with the pink hair?
I don't know. It's so just like, it doesn't even come to mind, because actually, you know what I think of every time I see that one? Why is she sitting right inside of her front door? She, like, you can see her front door.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like, what are you, why are you sitting in the entryway? What are you doing?
Oh, I can't get past being mad at her face.
Her Kate Gosselin face.
Exactly.
I don't care about anything she says. I don't care that she's mad at Denise, because she has no right to be mad at Denise. I hate how she tried to make something happen by confronting Denise at this dinner in front of everybody. Like, such a nasty thing. Like, it's not like some minimal, like, you said this about my dad kind of thing. Like, it's like, oh, you said that and you're having sex with Brandy. Like, and your husband doesn't know. Like, it's just, it's, I hated how she handled it and how Kyle went along. I hated the whole thing. And
yeah.
And Sutton, I don't want to see Sutton crying in a dressing room. I don't care. I mean, it's relatable, sure, but but never has I, like, of all of my leaving a dressing room dissatisfied and angry, never once have I been like, oh, but could you just rally all that stuff up and send it to my house for me to try on personally? Like, that's where you lose me. It's just, I don't care. And Dolce & Gabbana is not, they're problematic. They have made some very serious statements against the LGBTQ community and several others. I mean, they're so.
Yeah. Why are we giving them all this airtime? That was exactly my thought.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't really care. Yeah. And I can't see Denise in a tank top when it's clearly the middle of winter and everyone else is wearing a sweater in like five layers. So
listen, I can relate to that. The messy bun in the tank top in winter, that is me.
And your combat boots.
I feel for her in a way, because she does probably feel ganged up on, but also.
Of course. No, I'm team Denise by default. I mean, yeah. I don't care about any of this, but I think, I mean, who's leading the charge on the other side? Teddy? Like, no thanks. Ugh. Automatic pass. I'm team nobody, because I don't care about anybody in this situation.
Yeah, so. For sure. And it feels like they're not even showing us the good stuff, like to not show us when they all, well, not all of them, but a few of them went out and got drunk that night.
Right.
Why aren't we seeing that stuff? We just see them haggard the next morning, like hungover. okay.
What? Why was the moped thing so funny?
Oh my god! It wasn't. It's not. And I am so sick of seeing them drive shit. I don't care.
Well, also, who drove those Ferraris or whatever the hell they were home? Because they were all drunk after lunch.
It was. I mean, who knows? Some poor.
I do love Garcelle, though.
Me too.
And yeah, I want to know how you got your money, Sutton.
I love her.
So more Garcelle, less everybody else. But yeah. Also, like, why are they at the Vatican?
Well, but they didn't even get to go into the Vatican.
Somebody had asked Sutton, she would have done it. And I'm sorry, the Hunter rain boots with some dangles on them. Like, what was so great about that?
And also flying with those and like the lip, like. So
that suitcase had to have been 120 pounds with 8 pairs of rubber ass rain boots.
Rubber ass. And then they have to carry them back. Like,
thanks. Now I have to wear these home because they're, well, I mean, we know these are not their problems, but
God, it's just so frustrating.
So more Garcelle, less everyone else.
So at the end of the episode, when they had that dinner and Denise was like ready.
Yes.
To spill it. I was like, yes, finally. Like, this is what we wanted from her from the beginning. It's like she went and like had a come to Jesus moment and was like, oh, this is what they want on this show. And sat mm-hmm. down and just like, I have something to say. Like, yes, finally. But
if a producer has to tell you to go back in there and make something happen, you're done. You don't come back.
Well, the problem is she didn't stay for the response, which is the whole reason we want to watch, you know, say your piece and you can't just walk away. It's like, yeah, that's what I do when I argue, but I'm not on a TV show.
There's nothing I love more than when they break the fourth wall on a reality show. But if they have to do it to tell you to go do your job, no, that's right. No.
Right. I agree. And then it just felt extra... not scripted. It just felt like
this season really does. And I know there's probably always like some element of scripting, but this one feels so premeditated and scripted and produced and it's not great. And then why is Brandy at the baby shower?
At Buca de Beppo. I can't wait.
Sutton acting like she's never heard of it.
Oh my god.
I mean, am I watching? Of course. Do I want to be? No. Am I on my phone? Yes.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I had to go back and rewatch some parts because I'm like, oh, shit, I've been on my phone for the past 10 minutes.
Yeah. But then after you realize nothing happened, so there's no point in going back.
Right. Well, that was really anticlimactic.
Well, yeah, that's how I feel after I watch the episode every week.
Oh, God. Beverly Hills, get it together.
All right, next we have, as the fantastic Danny Pellegrino has been referring to them, Alcohol, the TV show.
Yeah, I had that written down in my notes. It's the best description.
It really, I mean, literally all they're doing in New York right now is fighting about who's an alcoholic.
And then waking up in the morning and drinking alcohol together again.
Spoiler, it's all of you. Oh my gosh. I died. I cracked up laughing, had to pause it and catch my breath when those trainers were outside and Lou goes, oh, squats in the sun? No, or what? I can't remember the line.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember either. But
I can't do squats in the sun. It's like, same.
Luann looks so good.
She really does.
She's had a glow up for sure.
Well, you know, alcohol. Although she is drinking right now. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting how we're being gaslit into forgetting that she wasn't arrested for assaulting a police officer while wasted.
Right. I mean, of course. But I
also... And went to AA. Like,
I don't think she's an alcoholic, though. I mean, compared to, like, a Dorinda or a Soda, like,
well,
I think some terrible things happened, when Lou drank that night, and I think she was in a very bad place because of Tom. Mm-hmm. And
it's but totally I don't about Tom.
I don't know that she's. I mean, if you're drinking Coke and rosé, that's a pretty good sign that something's wrong.
And the fact that Dorinda said that she only had 3 wine spritzers and woke up and acted the way she was acting.
I think that's all just anger. I don't think that's alcohol.
You think?
Well, and a wine spritzer is like half water. So it's really like...
I think she's drinking more than that. Or she's taking more than that. Or...
Maybe she's taking some water pills.
Some diuretics.
Oh my God. Biggest crock of shit.
Oh my God. I don't know. There's something extra going on in this Mexican house. That's by the way, I want to go to Mexico so bad.
It's getting harder to watch them in fun places.
I know.
But look at when the next morning, when Leah was sitting there, who, by the way, was sitting there minding her own damn business by herself on her computer, checking her emails, and then everybody else came up and then she got yelled at. Dorinda freaked out and had the same level of rage as she did the night before. And I mean, I don't think she was checking mimosas.
I wish somebody, I don't know, I just feel like she needs a good friend, not them, because they're obviously not good friends with her, to like have a intervention with her of some sort. Or she needs to go to therapy, or she needs some help. And it's really, really getting sad to watch.
She needs a prescription is what she needs.
Some Valium.
But Ramona is saying that, which is, but this is typical Ramona behavior. She's got her finger on the pulse of what the problem is, and her insight is correct, but her message is
convoluted at best.
Way off, terribly delivered, and it ruins everything. So Ramona has this amazing ability to always make you forget how terrible she is. There is absolutely nothing redeeming about her this season. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Not a thing.
No. It's almost like she lost that little bit that made us forget, like, oh gosh, she's not that bad. Yeah.
She's insufferable in a way she's never been. Maybe I've just reached my limit with the macrame. I mean, even Sonia's coming for you. So you're doing something wrong.
Oh my God. The mental health article that came out, did you see this about how all of them like have mental health issues? Just from an armchair psychologist.
So here's the thing. I don't love people psychoanalyzing people they've never met.
That was going to be my point too.
I think that's a
because I love doing that.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course. But also I'm not a professional.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like if I was a professional therapist, counselor, some kind of in the medical profession, mental health profession, I would never want my name associated with something like that. Obviously, it's all in good fun and nobody really knows. And also, you're only getting bits and pieces of the story. So, of course, they look crazy.
So that night when they go out, Dorinda couldn't go because she was pooping her pants. Why is it that this show, more than any of the others, there's so much shit on it, like literal shit?
I appreciate it. Please flash back to Sonia in a diaper. That is now the metric to live up to. If these other franchises don't have a shot of one of the wives in a diaper, then what do you have? And I'm not talking Lisa Rinna trying to just hawk some diapers. Like, that is the caliber with which we need you to achieve, Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Kyle Richards in a diaper. Could you imagine, though, the difference between the New York women and the Beverly Hills women?
No.
It's so weird.
But that's why New York is more successful, because they're willing to do these things and look like idiots and...
Shit.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, be vulnerable. And in Beverly Hills, they will not do it. They won't.
So, yep.
What did you think of these men they found on the beach?
I actually wrote down a quote. Those are not gay men shorts. And it just made me think of our husbands, Tyler and AJ, like walking down to the beach and we went camping a little little bit ago. Nope, those are not gay men shorts. I think they're horny. All they want to do is hook up with men, and I'm glad, you know, get it, whatever.
Yeah, live your life. Although I was sad to see that they were at a different restaurant and not the one they had been at the night before. That I hope they tip that waiter well.
Those
glasses that he had on his head, just the glass alone is heavy. So the net 5 pounds filled on top of your head. I mean, I was impressed.
It was very impressive. Makes me want to go.
Those caves that they went into, those were incredible. And I was mad that they got to go because they couldn't appreciate it. Freaking Sonia and Ramona couldn't even go and rappel down.
So frustrating. Leah was terrified and she still did it.
It looked gorgeous. It looked so cool. And I want to go somewhere that's not my house.
So bad. Somewhere, anywhere. Take me.
And then Dorinda yelled at everybody again and tried to pretend like she was so interested in taking the phone call from Hannah.
The phone call. Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. Because that was after the caves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was tough to watch because honestly, I couldn't figure out who was making more sense. Like, I couldn't figure out who was right.
They were going off of when Dorinda got so mad because there were electronics at the breakfast table.
Oh, for sure. No, yeah. But like that thing Dorinda does where it's like, oh, like she was like cool as a cucumber and like being so condescending and nasty, like
nasty.
That was like, it almost works. Like I almost believed her, like, oh no, Ramona is being terrible. I mean, which is not hard to believe, but oh God, that was so nasty.
Yeah, it was not good.
It feels so small. I'm not loving New York right now.
Me neither.
I mean, there are amazing moments in there, but something feels like it's missing because the cast is so small now that Tinsley's gone, and I guess they didn't bring Elise, and so it just feels like there's no like lighthearted fun anymore. It's all just like anger.
Yeah, it definitely feels very dark because when there's only 5 of them, it's their problems are more apparent, and the fact that these women, aside from Leah, have been on this show together for so long.
Right.
They have all this history, all this baggage. I think we're just, we need some new blood in there to spice it up.
Yeah. Which I think Leah's done a great job of. I am impressed with Leah's ability to forgive Ramona so quickly.
Well, that's the thing that lunch, Ramona started blaming Leah after Dorinda stormed away. Like it was her fault. And I think Ramona needs to leave, to be honest. And then we need to bring in more of maybe not necessarily Leah's friends, but like Leah's age, comparable to Leah's age kind of thing.
I agree. Like late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah. I think that would be really fun in New York.
Yeah. I mean, all the other OGs in the other cities are gone. Vicky's gone. Nene is gone. So, yeah. Send them a message. We're done with you.
I'll send Andy a message.
Yeah. Send him a strongly worded tweet. I don't know. I will always love New York, but they're struggling. And I know a lot of people have said they don't miss Bethany, but this is when you need a Bethany. Like, just the voice of reason, you're being too much, you're not being enough, like this is what we need right now. Which Tinsley kind of was, like, kind of shocking to see what a hole Tinsley's left, because she was so ho-hum and boring, but apparently she brought a lot.
I think she did too. And I mean, and being overshadowed by all these crazies, I mean, meh.
Onto the bright shining star. If there is anybody out there who is still not watching Potomac, what are you doing? What is happening? That is the only thing you need to be doing right now. Stop doing anything else. Watch Potomac.
Get your life together.
Oh God, no kidding. I mean, there's just so much going on all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a crazy mother, crazier than Dale, crazier than Mama Elsa. I mean, I think Candace's mom might be the craziest mom or friend of to ever exist.
Agreed.
She's just gold. Candace is a terrible human.
She really is. And her whole wanting to get better before she has a child, I'm just like, yeah, like, you should not be procreating.
Do not come at me this season with a pregnancy motherhood storyline. After all the shit you gave Ashley all last year, don't even get out of here with that.
But she peed on a stick. Okay, let's start from the beginning with the Grand Dame and the Black Bill Gates. It's really sad.
They're on the rocks. I mean, we knew that last season, though, when she was riding around town with Mr. Blue Eyes.
I know, but for her to be like, you haven't said those three little words.
That was hard.
Okay, okay, okay.
Nope, that was tough.
I'm sad for her. But the fact that she's open about it, like, take notes, Beverly Hills. Like, right. This is the hardest thing she's probably gone through in her marriage, and it's on her TV screen.
Well, and we watched her the last two seasons, like, denying any problems, denying that she wasn't living in a rented empty house. Like, so for her to do, like, a complete 180 is, this is what we need.
Yeah.
And I heard somewhere that Ray wants to move to Florida, and she refuses.
Oh.
And so that's why that's the tension.
Interesting.
Because he's ready to go live out his golden years, and she's still living it up.
Well, she's much younger than him, so I understand that. And she's in her prime right now.
Right. So, And I mean, after being drugged through the mud with his whole tax whatever, to see her succeeding is probably even harder. So
yeah, for sure. Well, I'm still rooting for them.
Yes. But then to have Candace prop her up as a excellent example of marriage.
Was all- and her mother. I've been married 30 years between two men. Well, this is, oh God, delusion. Are you
throwing a anniversary party with a cash bar?
Oh my God.
You haven't even gone on a honeymoon. Screw all these other people. What do you need a party for? Take that money and go on a honeymoon.
Oh, they really haven't?
She said that in the second one.
Oh, I missed that. At
the dinner.
Oh, hell no.
So Monique shows up at Karen's house. Not with the baby, with the damn bird.
That bird.
Why does Monique feel like she needs to potty train everything in her life?
You know what? That just makes me mad. Actually, that's like a theme of this season. All the motherhood stuff is making me mad. No, I have that in my own life. I don't need it in my own life.
I love that Ashley is opening up about her anxiety and depression. And I think I love that. I want people to talk about it. I want them shouting it from the rooftops. I don't want to see you with a lactation specialist. I don't care.
Right. Yes. Let's talk about the baby blues and you're not feeling right leaving and going outside is really hard. Like, I can totally relate to that.
Were you triggered when she talked about her torn anus?
Listen, it's like half a page. I was not offered Botox in my torn anus as she was, but I would have loved to try it.
Do you think it's too late? Maybe you can still do it.
I am fully healed, for those who are worried.
I can so relate to that. Like, the first time you're around other people who did not just have a baby and you have things you want to talk about, and I was like, no, don't care.
And then she just keeps spiraling and talks about her first bowel movement and her.
But I mean, we all remember that.
I mean, we all feel that, yes, but maybe not at lunch or dinner.
Somebody at that table was a mother, though, except Candace. So, like, their way they recoiled to it was, I hated that. I was like, okay, obviously, no, we don't want to hear about it, but you could be like, oh, I remember that. Like, oh, like.
I don't think every mother has a torn anus, though, so maybe she just needed a friend like me.
No, but torn anus or not, you remember your first postpartum poop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I just, also, that baby looks exactly like Michael, and I don't want to see it.
I know. It's very hard. It's very, very hard thing that they're going through over there.
And I don't like this, like, little, like, happy family act we're doing with the walks and the him casually brushing off all of her concerns. And, like, I don't like him. I don't want to see him.
Well, we also know what's coming, too.
Well, yes.
I mean, what has been. Oh, well. And speaking of coming out party, like, what? Number one, I think it's insensitive. But number two, with the rumors about her husband, why would they call her party a coming out party?
I mean, it is a common phrase not associated with, like, I know it's predominantly used as, you know. Like
gay people coming out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think maybe they meant, like, stepping out.
That's not what it said.
I mean, I know what they were saying, but. I don't know. Karen is shady as hell.
Well, that's what I think. That they did it on purpose.
All right. I mean, but see, that is what I love about Potomac. Because you know what? Now that you say that, they probably did. You're probably right. And they're shady as hell, and I love it.
I know. Well, Giselle, even with... So, Giselle...
Shade. The best.
Giselle and Monique went to lunch. And there's this whole rumor mill thing with Charisse, and Monique in her confessional was like, no, I don't want to even say it. It's terrible. And then Giselle, it just all falls out of her mouth. Well, rumor has it that Monique is hooking up with her trainer and they're out in public and the big boy is mad.
So good.
Oh my God. It just rolls off her tongue and she makes me laugh out loud so much.
What do you think about her being back together with her ex-husband?
I hate it. I think she has the worst taste in men.
It's not great.
No.
I kind of loved it up until her daughters were talking. Because prior to that, she was like, I don't give a shit. Whatever you guys think. I'm happy. This is what I want to do. And I was like, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
But because it's been several years since I broke up, like, it's, you know, people can change, whatever. If you're happy, fine. But then her daughters started talking, and her daughters are not into it. And I would think that that would be all you would want, is your parents to get back together.
Yeah, there's obviously a reason.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a big red flag. But also, like, that's what you want to do it. I don't know. I'm kind of stuck with that one.
Yeah. No, I know. You can't base your happiness on your children. But the fact that all three of her daughters and it's their father and they don't want them together.
Yeah.
That says something.
Totally.
And I don't know. I haven't looked it up, but I don't know if they're still together to this day or not.
I haven't either. Yeah, because she had Sherman before, who was not great. She's had bad luck for sure.
Someone else needs to hook her up.
Okay, but the most important thing we need to talk about Giselle is her $900,000 teardown that now looks like a goddamn fun house. What? That woman.
Well, that's what I mean. I feel like aesthetically she just doesn't have good taste. And like with men, with
her fashion decor. Her fashion is terrible. Her obviously her home decor picks are,
oh my God, so it's something. It's something.
I mean, it looks like, what was Andy Warhol's studio called? Like the Fun Factory or something? Like it looks like it's so insane. It's like a rainbow threw up in there.
It's a lot.
But it really not is. In a good way. And that wall is like magenta and oh God.
It's striking to the eyeball.
It's disturbing. Please hire a decorator. It's insane. Yeah. I mean, she's my favorite, but also, oh God.
I mean, I can overlook a lot because she makes me laugh. But
oh, for sure. It's all forgiven because she's got the best zingers ever. But, oh boy.
Oh, man.
So then Giselle goes to lunch with, why can't I think of his name?
Juan. My favorite house husband.
I mean, he's not my least favorite. But I just thought that was so sweet how he took Giselle to lunch as a secret.
How the producers made it look like shady that they were out together in the previews and stuff? I thought that was weird.
Even watching that preview, though, I had a feeling that's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to be that stupid to do it on camera if they're going to go behind Robin's back. Right. So.
Yeah. No, that was cute.
So I'm excited for that. Finally, after all these seasons, they're going to get married again, or at least engaged. I'm sure it'll be another 5 years before they actually get married. But see, like, but that's why I was kind of on Giselle's side of, like, because here's Robin and Juan, who, although I guess everybody is rooting for them, so that maybe it's different. But, I mean, how many years have we watched them and Robin's just like, fuck you, I don't care. This is, we're happy, this is what we're going to do. And so, but I guess everyone's more, they did go through the whole, like, flashback of all, like, the parents and everybody saying how much they should be together. So,
yeah,
I guess it's different.
And they've been together, you know, 24 years or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I'm excited for them. I love them.
Yes.
Do we have to talk about Candace peeing on a stick?
Candy ass. I would rather talk about her denim and diamonds outfit.
Oh my God.
Where would one even find boots like that?
Heather, I don't know.
At the toilet store?
It doesn't make sense. It's a choice. She's a choice. And she's a gorgeous woman. Like, and she is.
Her hair is always just perfect.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a misstep. But that whole party was a misstep. It's like she just wanted to have a party because for the show.
Right.
And to make it a cash bar.
Oh, God. That's a choice, as the Grand Dame said.
Without skipping a beat.
Right. Also, what I noticed at that party was how everyone commented on how good she smelled. And she paid them, right?
It just registered.
Perfume.
Right.
What do you think of Wendy?
Oh, I like her.
Yeah, so far so good.
So far so good. Yeah, I really like her so far. She has a lot to offer.
Yeah, I'm very interested in her beef with the Grand Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting. But I mean, she's a professor at Johns Hopkins. John Hopkins or Johns Hopkins?
I don't know. I think it's Johns.
Yeah. She's got little kids at home. I think she does a lot. So I think she will be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
More of her, less of the bird. So do you think at the beginning they did the whole like Tarantino thing where they started in one thing and then went backwards?
Yeah.
And they flash back to them talking about this terrible thing and this woman, we've tried so hard to break these stereotypes and then she has undone it all. We're talking about Monique, right?
Has to be.
It's got to be.
Monique and Candace is what my guess is. They must like get in a fight.
Well, that leaked at some point. Yeah, that they somebody threw hands.
Oh.
Which is my new favorite term, by the way.
Yeah, I've noticed. I've heard it a couple times from you.
Yeah, throwing hands and catching hands. I highly recommend asking your husband if he wants to catch these hands. It works quite well. So the next time Tyler pops off, she's like, do you want to catch these hands? So, I mean, Monique and Candace have had this brewing for a while.
Yeah, since that winery trip.
When she threatened to drag her.
I love it. It's got a lot of potential. And soon it's going to be all we have.
I mean, I don't blame Monique for wanting to throw hands at Candace because she's annoying as fuck. I mean, oh, mom beats her with her purse. So, I mean, I get it. She just elicits that reaction.
We do not condone violence on this show.
Unless it's towards Candace. I mean, I could see how people would be annoyed with her and need to hit her.
I just can't imagine she has any, like, very many close girlfriends.
No.
If this is how she acts toward them. Yeah, I can't stand her. She's a good villain. I'm glad she's on the show, but I can't stand her.
Well, it's always hard because we want these terrible people in the mix, but also she strikes the right balance of being a terrible / perfect person for the show,
mm-hmm.
not being like too far the other way.
Definitely. That's actually how I used to feel about Dorit.
Yeah.
But now I like her this season. It's very strange.
Well, because she's not doing anything. So.
Yeah.
Contributing nothing. Not even original glam looks, because Erica beat you downstairs.
That was wild. God. Okay, we're not going backwards here.
Okay, can we talk about Below Deck?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because my journey through Below Deck and Below Deck Med is complete.
I wish I would have known. I would have gotten you a medal or something.
Patient certificate.
I would have got you your stripes. Damn it.
Oh. I mean, it was a long haul through all those. But you know what? I ain't got shit else to do. And I took AJ along with me. He thinks he's going to be a yacht chef now. He
better work on his nachos.
You've had AJ's nachos. He prides himself on his nacho making abilities, and he was aghast to see not only Chef Mila's nachos, but Kiko's nachos as well.
No, it was so sad.
Kiko.
Okay.
Tell me what you're thinking about Captain Sandy.
Okay. I have pretty much watched Below Deck Med from the beginning. And I loved her. She's like a woman in charge. I thought she was a great leader. Her leadership style is not what I would be like, but I think I would respond well to her until this season. I just feel like she's like a Bravo celebrity now. I feel like she feels like she needs to be on camera all the time, which equals micromanaging when you are on a ship.
She thinks
or a yacht.
So watching the episode or the seasons back to back to back, I feel like I have a different perspective. Obviously, I want to root for her. I want to love her. I want a female in that industry to succeed in any industry. And I love the way that she's so committed to helping other people climb up behind her, which I love. She annoys the shit out of me. She's such a micromanager. I saw it the first season and I'm like, I can't watch this woman. Let these people fuck up, because what else are we going to talk about? You are up their ass, let them be. And she's had it out for Hannah for the last like two or three seasons.
Mm-hmm. I do see that thinking back.
This current season, this feels all very orchestrated. It feels just like Beverly Hills. Like, it's very orchestrated. Like, there was a plan going into the season. Like, really, Malia just, oh my God, my chef boyfriend is, oh my God, he's going to be here tonight. Like, okay, Malia, sure. So, I don't like her. I don't. I want to love her, but can't. Sorry. I try.
Well, I think she's getting a lot of backlash right now. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Did you see her on Watch What Happens Live with Malia? She was very unapologetic about everything, basically just doubling down. And
when was this?
It was, so for some reason our episodes are recording with Watch What Happens Live. Like, every once in a while it does this, because Watch What Happens Live comes on right after Below Deck.
Yeah.
So sometimes it will record both. And so it happened to be on, and I was so mad after the last episode.
So Malia went on again because she was on with Bugsy.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was on, or, well, maybe I'm getting them confused. Maybe I can't, and then I can't remember who was on with Captain Sandy. Anyways.
Oh, I need to see that one.
Captain Sandy was on, and she was on with Kate. That's what it was.
Oh.
And Kate was trying to be very diplomatic and not say anything.
Shocking, actually.
It was, yeah.
She's not coming back. Why does it matter? Like,
I know. I could tell she was trying not to ruffle Sandy's feathers. But Sandy was very much like, oh, Hannah knows I still love her and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. It was very strange. I was like, I don't think that's how this is going to end. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
So Malia wanted to share a cabin with her boyfriend. And what they're only
to do on a boat. When there's couples, they just share a cabin.
And there's only 2 weeks of the season left. Like, why would Hannah want to switch rooms just to make and share with somebody she doesn't even really like in Bugsy? I mean, I wouldn't want to either.
Well, and what I didn't like was how they didn't focus on how Bugsy didn't want to switch either.
They're
all on Hannah.
Right.
At the end of the day, the bosun is outranked by the chief stew.
Right.
So, and the chef. So what she should have done was had her boyfriend make a big stink about it instead of her, because you don't run this shit.
Right.
You might run the deck, but you don't run the interior. And guess where the rooms are? Interior.
Right. Did you see that that thing Captain Lee tweeted, I think? Yeah.
He explained all the rankings on the boat and how basically Malia was wrong. And yeah. Sandy was wrong also for going through with that. And also, I thought it was a bitch move how Sandy announced that on the radio after Hannah said she was going off mic or radio or whatever.
Right.
So
it was all shady. It was all so shady.
So then as they're moving stuff, because Sandy said, oh no, just you have to switch for Malia, my favorite pet. And so Malia found, quote, Hannah's Valium prescription, and was it a weed pen?
CBD.
CBD. Oh, that's right. Yes, it was just CBD. It was no THC in it.
Nope, none.
So took a picture with some kind of, I don't know, something that had Hannah's initials on it, I guess, to prove that it was Hannah's. Doesn't go directly to Captain Sandy. That's what pisses me off the most. If you're going to sit there and act all high and mighty and righteous of it's my duty, then that instinct would have struck you immediately and you would have scurried away like the little rat you are straight to Sandy. But instead, I think what she wanted to do, she wanted to wait and discuss her move with her boyfriend and figure out what to do. Because she doesn't send the picture to Sandy until like 10 p.m., hours later.
She really screwed herself because everyone has turned on her. And it's not like Hannah was so loved before, you know what I mean? It's just like so blatantly
shitty.
Shitty, yes. Like what? But why don't you go to Hannah and ask, hey, I found this. What is this? Does Captain Sandy know about this? Because what if she had disclosed it? But she didn't. She went straight to being a rat.
Well, that and the episode before when Hannah was having her panic attack in the bathroom.
Right.
And Hannah says, I need a Valium. Then the next morning you would have been like, hey, so do you have a prescription for that? Like the way she
it
was
came
like,
out of a prescription bottle. She could have just looked at it and saw her fucking name. Like, it's just so shitty and such an attack on, like, she just didn't like her. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Then she was acting like they were friendly and that was weird. I don't, like, the whole thing is just weird. This is all clearly just a play to get Bugsy as on the boat, basically, and then have her boyfriend be the chef and she's Sandy's little pet. And then life is good for Malia.
Yeah, totally.
I think she didn't like how she came across the first season she was on. And so she's trying to clean up her image, but yeah, you done fucked up.
Did you notice in the last few episodes how they basically edited Pete out?
Yes, thank God. Pete, garbage. And he, did you see his Instagram story about he also struggles with mental health and anxiety? And he wants to, he was basically trying to defend Hannah and call him Leah. And I mean, that all might be true, but Pete, you're just trying to rewrite history here.
Right. He's just mad.
But I do love the couple on the boat. I can't think of either of their names, but
I like them. Yeah, they're fine. She's just kind of a dumbo. And I mean, and doing everything with one hand really makes me laugh, but.
Well, you know, I had a good laugh about breaking your own finger in the door that you yourself. I may or may not be married to somebody who did the same thing.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
Except he did it at work in a car door.
Yeah, they're okay. I mean, I like them better than Malia.
Yeah. So do we know if Hannah gets fired?
I don't know for sure. I've just been assuming. Yeah.
Well, but I don't understand how they would be able to do that, because back in like the first or second season of just plain Below Deck, when Kat took an anxiety pill, remember when there was like really shitty guests around and they were being super inappropriate? God.
Yeah.
She went back to her cabin and took something for anxiety, and she seemed drunk, and so she had to do this big sit down with Captain Lee, and she showed him the prescription, and he was like, okay, like, this checks out, like, please take it more responsibly, like, basically, like, don't be a dumb fuck about this. Right. And always, so it's not, Malia said on Instagram that the captain has to administer your drugs and blah blah blah, and that's obviously not the case.
No, it turns out that's actually not true at all. It's not so black and white. This is from like secondhand interpretation of maritime law, but it sounds like it's not so black and white. Like there's a lot of gray area, and especially when it's prescribed and used responsibly, then it's fine. And she obviously has anxiety, as evidenced from previous seasons, previous episodes. Like, I don't know.
Well, that's what makes me think, like, this is just Sandy's campaign against Hannah.
Yeah.
All right, real quickly, are you watching anything else good? You both mentioned Dating on the Spectrum on Netflix. Mm. So good. Such a good representation of adults living with autism. I loved it. I thought it was so good.
Yeah, it was definitely a feel-good, like, I really enjoyed it. I wish it was more than 5 episodes. I hope there's more seasons.
Yeah. We started The Last Dance on Netflix, which came out a while ago, but it kind of got, everything got put on hold with our Below Deck situation.
What is that about? I think you told me about it, but I forgot.
It follows the 90s Bulls. And I hate basketball. I don't ever want to watch it. I never want to play it. I come from a basketball loving family and I hate it. I hate basketball. But I do, it is such a good shot of 90s nostalgia. And I do remember watching the Bulls play as a kid in the early 90s, and I guess all through the whole 90s. And I just remember like Dennis Rodman just being this crazy person, just like, oh, what does his hair look like today? But to hear more about how, like, just like the dynamics of the team and the coaching staff and the front office staff, like, all the drama of it, it's really good. So,
well, maybe I'll watch it. Tyler's already watched it, so the chances are
Go watch it on your own, but if you need something to watch with the husband, this is a good one. So, lots of good 90s music, 90s fashion. Oh, so good. So, I'm also watching Indian Matchmaker, also on Netflix. So good. It's the like follow-up to Family Karma that was on Bravo that I needed. And it follows a couple different, there's some in America, there's some in India, and it's just a good feel-good show. And I love that Indian culture is being represented on Netflix, and I'm learning a lot, and I just, it's so good.
You know, we started that and we got distracted, but I do like it. So I need to dive back. So I just binged the new version of Unsolved Mysteries.
No.
I think I mentioned this before. I love true crime, and I actually started loving true crime when I watched the original Unsolved Mysteries at my grandma's house, like every weekend, because it was like the only thing on TV in the evening, and that is exactly what got me hooked from a young age. Obviously gave me nightmares too, but the fact that it's back and there are modern cases, and what's really, really cool about the new reincarnation of it is the internet, because now there have already been breaks in some of these cases that have been cold cases for a long time, and it's just, it's really cool and maddening and awesome. So yeah, we've been enjoying that.
Yeah, I've actually been sleeping, so pass.
And then season 3 of Selling Sunset.
Oh my god, yes, how could I forget?
I'm only about halfway through. I haven't finished it yet, but I know we're about to get to the heartbreak.
Okay, we'll have to wait and talk about that
later. Yeah, then. Yeah.
It always surprises me how quickly those seasons go by.
I know. Well, it's like modern day Hills is how I feel every time I watch it.
It totally is. But also, like, I'm not that captivated by any of it, but I want to watch more.
See, it doesn't make sense.
I'm on my phone like the entire time because their drama is just so stupid and petty and I don't care. But when the Houses come on, then I pay attention.
I do love the Houses. Oh God. Yeah.
I heard one of the twins left and started his own brokerage.
What?
Yeah.
That's scandalous. Do you know why?
No, because the article had a lot of pop-ups and I didn't care that much.
Oh my God.
Whatever. Not on season 4 or 5 or whatever the hell we're on.
I think that's all I got.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you love Bravo Talk as much as we do, we would love it if you would rate and subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. And that's it. That's all we got for you. All right. Stay strong with the distance learning. We can do this.
We got this. As I cry.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at okayestmomsblog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.